What do we know about quality of life in patients who have had these procedures, particularly as it relates to bowel function?
That's an excellent question. That's something that we are currently looking at very carefully at Memorial. The patients that have a very low anastomosis and have had their entire rectum removed and they've had a restorative procedure, to some extent lose their reservoir capacity. And so we do reconstructive procedures using colonic J pouches to restore that reservoir capacity. But nevertheless, we can't make their function perfectly normal. A well-done procedure that creates a reservoir like a J pouch ultimately will give these patients reasonably satisfactory results. They'll end up usually with about 2 to 4 bowel movements a day. They will have continence, they may have some urgency, and they may have something called clustering, meaning that they will go 2 or 3, 4 times to the bathroom before they feel completely empty. But if they had a pouch operation done, or a colonic J pouch, usually in the first 3 months, many of those symptoms will resolve, and over the course of time, their function will be reasonably satisfactory. Patients that have a straight anastomosis, have had entire rectum removed and the colon brought down and anastomosed to the anus or just above the anus, usually will have pretty significant frequency of stool, urgency, the clustering for a longer period of time, usually a year or two. At the end of certainly 2 years, their function will be fairly comparable to that they have with a pouch, but it would take a couple of years to get to that level. Their quality of life is generally very good. Majority of patients prefer that over a stoma, but there are many patients that don't have the optimal results that we hope that we can get them to, and their quality of life is affected by it.
Yeah, I've heard this sort of bantered about at meetings, and some people might say, you know, quote, some of these patients are so miserable they might have been better off with a colostomy. And other people would say, oh, if you ask the patient, no matter what, they'd rather avoid it. What's your experience?
Well, that's very true. I think that there are very few patients in. We did a study that we published a couple of years ago on bowel function following low anterior resection and developed a rectal cancer specific bowel questionnaire that one of my associates, Dr. Larissa Temple, developed and will be continuing with this. And basically, the patients that we asked who had a low anterior resection, when we asked them if they would want to go back to having a stoma, there were none of them that would go back to having a stoma, even if they had compromised quality of life because of stool frequency. So their preference is to have that. And I've had very, very, very few patients over the years that they're having significant problems. I will discuss with them, would you like to be converted to a stoma? And virtually none of them will do that.
I think you could maybe make an argument that if a patient, particularly has been seen in a community setting, has had an AP resection recommended, that maybe they ought to be getting a second opinion almost automatically, and that why isn't there more noise about this?
Certainly, the patients that have a very strong aversion to a stoma will generally seek a second opinion. I think it is extremely important they do, because if I were to, just off the top of my head, the number of patients that I see that have been told they need an abdominal perineal resection, probably 75% of those patients are amenable to a sphincter-saving procedure.
That's a scary figure.
It is. They are very grateful patients. Even when I see them in consultation, and if they have been told sometimes by one or two other surgeons they need an abdominal perineal resection, and when I tell them that they may well be amenable to a sphincter-saving procedure, they are very relieved. And that is the major concern of most patients with rectal cancer, particularly in male patients with very distal cancers. They're the ones that often come seeking an opinion regarding a sphincter-saving procedure because they obviously don't want to have a permanent stoma.
It must be very gratifying for you as a physician.
It is. It's nice to be able to offer them a sphincter-saving procedure in very difficult situations. And I always make the point to them that I would not compromise their cancer operation, and that in many instances I have to make that decision at the time I do the surgery. Now, the use of neoadjuvant therapy I think is very helpful in this setting as well, because it does downsize and in many cases downstages a rectal cancer, and as long as it was not invading the sphincter muscle at the initial staging, most of those patients are amenable to a sphincter-saving procedure. And we even extend the ability to do that by doing something called an intersphincteric dissection. We sometimes will take a little bit of the internal sphincter to get that adequate margin below the tumor. Now, that's another technique that extends the ability to do the low anterior resections.
So how does the sphincter function then when you do that?
Not quite as well, as the internal sphincter basically provides tone. It's not the sphincter you can contract. The internal sphincter provides tone. The external sphincter is the one you can contract. And so if we take a part of the internal sphincter, the patient will lose some of the tone, may have a little bit of seepage. They may have to wear a little mini pad because of that. So I make sure that I discuss that with the patient beforehand. But the majority of patients, if that is an option for them, will choose to go that route.